This is a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, 91.3 KUAF. This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, May 10th, 2019. Ahead this hour, another change in the Northwest Arkansas landscape as a prominent spot in South Fayetteville, long synonymous with agriculture, begins a transition to a multi-use development. Just ahead on the show, Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek will have that report. And later this afternoon, Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda will explain how a new service can further connect blood donors and the people who needed the blood. That's ahead. After our show this afternoon on Science Friday, how can squeezing hydrogen between two diamonds make the next supermaterial? Today, the frustrating quest for the most elusive material in physics, plus why a porcupine's quills might lead to people becoming prey. Science Friday begins today at 1, right after this edition of Ozarks at Large. And this afternoon and early evening, Bonanza, an annual fundraising event for Hoofing It, Equestrian Occupational Therapy, will be held at Oliver Ranch in Hyphal. The event is presented by Bailey and Oliver's Kids Foundation from 4 until 9. No admission charge. Many events are free, including live music and a performance by the Rodeo of the Ozarks Rounders Precision Equestrian Team. There will be opportunities to donate money for games, raffles, and silent auctions. The ranch is on Highway 264 West, 1 mile past the south entrance to Northwest Arkansas Regional Airport. Signs will be posted to guide you there. This is Ozarks at Large. An area of Fayetteville that harkens back to the city's agricultural roots is undergoing a makeover. The Farmers Co-op is moving, and Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek tells us more about the multi-use development that it will become.
2259,
please. Okay. And are y'all moving?
We are.
Yeah?
Hasn't been decided yet.
Okay.
No,
okay.
We bought the land in West Fork, but I'm not sure if they're going to utilize it at the moment.
The Farmers Co-op on the corner of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and South School Street in Fayetteville will stay open until mid-July.
I buy my dog food there. I get straw there. I almost always come out with more than I want there. And they have the best toffee, caramels. The best homemade caramels in the world. Also, you can buy eggs there cheap, good eggs.
That's Judith Royce. She's lived in Fayetteville since 1973.
And I grew up in Springdale, okay. So I am one of the very few local yokels.
Roy says one of the reasons she goes to the Farmers Co-op is out of convenience.
And I know that it's good. I can get good dog food there for a reasonable price.
She says she'd consider going to the co-op's new location, depending on where it is.
I would go to West Fork if it were on 71, you know, so I could just tootle down the highway.
Specialized Real Estate Group is under contract to buy the 8-acre property. Spokesperson Sarah King says Specialized went into the deal knowing the co-op, which has been there since 1982, is part of the fabric of South Fayetteville.
Well, my grandparents had a chicken house out on the Madison County line, and so I remember going there as a little kid in the 80s with them. It was one of the places they stopped when they came into town. So it's just always been the Farmers Co-op to me, and I buy my garden seeds there as well, so I do love the place.
King says the Farmers Co-op serves as a crossroads on numerous fronts at the same time that the entire area is at a crossroads itself.
It's where country comes to town, certainly at the co-op, but it's also a crossroads of the trail. It's near the crossroads of 71B and MLK, which is an important vehicular crossroad. So taking all those things into account and then taking in the momentum of the here and now.
The here and now are the developing University of Arkansas Art and Design District and the Cultural Arts Corridor, approved by Fayetteville voters in a special election last month.
I think it's exciting because it's an opportunity to make sort of at an exclamation point of the Cultural Arts Corridor and a crossroads to transition into the other things they're developing in South Fayetteville. It's a real unique opportunity to make kind of a new neighborhood center.
That's Chris Barabo. He's the principal architect at Modus Studio, which is designing the Farmers Co-op project.
A lot of what we're doing actually is sort of preserving the light industrial and agricultural heritage of the existing buildings that are laid out in kind of a unique way on a spur of a rail line for delivery and transportation needs originally. And that's sort of how that over time the site has sort of developed and had some deconstruction. For instance, the old grain tower that used to be there that I think was demolished about 9 years ago or so.
Four existing co-op buildings are staying as part of the development. King says they're hoping to attract businesses like restaurants, bars, entertainment venues, small offices, and retail.
We looked at those buildings to make sure they were structurally sound, of course, and they seem to pass every test. It seemed like they're built to last, have some really cool features like giant wooden posts that, you know, they're going to stand the test of time. There are also some freight elevators in the building that we're going to evaluate and see how we can incorporate those into the ultimate design.
King says the rest of the site will be used for several apartment buildings that'll bring around 220 new residential units to the area.
This is something we're particularly excited about because it brings together two things that we feel like we've really honed our craft. In adaptive reuse, especially in partnership with MODIS, and then also adding new housing.
King says most of the units will be one-bedroom or studio apartments that will be attainably priced.
And we see a lot of people who are in different phases of life who need an apartment, not just those folks who are in their 20s, but at other phases of life who want a beautiful apartment. They want a place they don't have to mow the lawn. They have a gorgeous place to live, and we're setting out to build those places.
The design of the property also incorporates a boardwalk that will follow the route of the old rail line and includes opening up Tanglewood Branch Creek. King says they also want to make the overall intersection more inviting to other modes of transportation besides vehicles.
Right now, if you're a pedestrian walking on South School or on MLK past there, it's not a very hospitable place. And we are taking some very specific measures to make those streetscapes more appealing if you're driving by in a car or if you're on foot or on wheels of any sort.
Chris Barabo says designing around the large amount of traffic in the area has been a challenge.
Part of our focus, obviously, is how do we take the existing site and the existing conditions and two busy roads and a very important intersection in South Fayetteville and really think about how to increase safety, increase visibility, and kind of slow things down where we can and where it makes sense to.
The proposed design reduces the amount of curb cuts along both stretches of road and creates designated access points to better control the flow of traffic. Matthew Crabtree, the president of the Farmers Cooperative, says traffic is one of the reasons they're moving their Fayetteville location.
You know, traffic in Fayetteville is an issue. For a lot of our customers, it's hard to get in and out of. You know, I'm not going to say that money wasn't part of it. You know, the dollar figure was part of it, but a lot of it is just trying to get in and out of that location is very difficult.
Right now, the Farmers Co-op has 15 retail locations throughout western Arkansas and eastern Oklahoma. Crabtree says they also recently purchased a warehouse in Lincoln.
Also, I can't really go into detail about some of the opportunities we've got coming, but we're looking at more retail stores popping up in different various locations throughout Northwest Arkansas to replace Fayetteville. So it's kind of one of those things, if you can, you know, add two stores, three stores, you know, for what you're getting out of one store, you know, that I think that benefits more people. And so I'm excited about those opportunities.
Crabtree says those opportunities lie within 5 miles of the Fayetteville Co-op.
I'm sure there's some mixed emotions about, you know, what's happening. We didn't go into this lightly. I mean, we've had other people approach us in the past and we've turned them down. We just wanted to make sure that they respected the history and the natural aesthetic of that building, of that property.
Fayetteville resident Judith Royce says she understands there's excitement about the project, but she worries locals are getting priced out of the area when it comes to both housing and the proposed businesses.
I think that we need to consider what we're putting in and make sure that it is truly usable by everyone.
Sarah King says Specialized Real Estate and MODIS both know they have a responsibility to the land they're developing and the community that surrounds it.
I'm one of those people who feels sentimental about this place, but also I know things change and we're part of a growing community. I hope we can do all that we can to capture that spirit of this place, and it'll be a new gathering spot so that old neighbors and new neighbors can gather and meet.
Construction at the site is expected to begin in early 2020. For Ozarks at Large,
There you are.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
You too.
I'm Susanna Sitek.
And thanks for making Ozarks at Large part of your Friday. We do very much appreciate it. Big thanks to Columbus House in Fayetteville for hosting a KUAF happy hour at the brewery last night. Thanks also to everybody who came out to meet many of us who work here. The Columbus House staff gave us great beer, took great care of us and our guests, and helped us raise a bit of money for public radio as well. Last week on Ozarks at Large, we told you the Salvation Army Thrift Store in Fayetteville is selling props and items that were bought for movie sets for HBO's True Detective, which filmed the third season of the show in Northwest Arkansas last year. Well, the sale has been postponed due to weather, so no sale tomorrow, but there will be a sale on Saturday, May 18th from 10 until 3. VIP tickets for early access to the sale will be honored that day, and there are still VIP tickets available. Those can be purchased at all Salvation Army thrift store locations for $10. VIP hours for the sale will be from 8 until 10. Rest of the sale is free and open to the community. And we'd like to remind you that Common Roots is playing tonight at Sassafras Springs in Springdale. The duo, based in Northwest Arkansas, has more dates throughout the spring and summer. You can find out more about Common Roots at their Facebook page.
In the background, trombonist Kai Winding and J.J. Johnson. And I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday. We'll hear more from these great musicians. In addition, we'll hear from Wayne Shorter, Jane Monheit, Bill Charlap, John Coltrane, Surreal Ami, and much more. Tune in to Shades of Jazz right here on KUAF, 91.3 FM, listener-supported National Public Radio.
And we continue with this Friday edition of Ozarks at Large with our friend and colleague Michael Tilley, who is with Talk Business and Politics. He is in his office in Fort Smith. Michael, good to have you on the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me. And in a good mood. I watched the game last night and watched the Hogs walk all over LSU.
All right. Well, they got two more, so.
I know it. And the LSU always seems to have her number, no matter whether we're having a good year or a bad year. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
All right. Well, I don't think it's an official designation that this past week was Workforce Development Week in the Arkansas River Valley, but it kind of seemed like it, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And sometimes the news cycle will do that. You'll cover kind of the same topic over a period of a week or a couple of weeks. But in Fort Smith, it's kind of been Fort Smith Chamber Workforce Development Week. And part of this follows last week, they had their business expo, and the focus of that was workforce development. And we kind of had a follow-up on that where we talked to Jason Green. He's a HR Vice President of HR for ABB Baldor. We talked to Tim Allen, who's head of the chamber. You know, the thing that we're hearing from these folks and other folks is that the community, both the school districts and University of Arkansas at Fort Smith, who are working together, but more has to be done. There has to be more focus on getting people in the pipeline with skills and with flexible skills. For example, you know, Interim Chancellor Dr. Edward Cerna said, you know, we want to get people in here where they can get a certificate degree, begin to work toward a, you know, 4-year degree, or maybe their 2-year degree sets them up to get a job that they can later go toward a 4-year degree. But whatever they do in education, it sets them up not only to have skills, but to be able to expand upon those skills and that education later. So that's part of the focus. And then on that, the chamber also this week announced that they hired Stephen Lamb, L-A-M-M. Was working, or I guess is working until June 1st, for the Arkansas Economic Development Commission. And he will be let me find his exact title. He's Vice President of Workforce Development. I think you remember last October, the Walton Family Foundation awarded a $1.3 million grant to the Chamber and the Northwest Arkansas Council for the purpose of, and let me quote, to strengthen ties between educational institutions and the business community. So that's what Stephen will be doing there. So again, he starts June 1st. What we're seeing is more of a focus, almost a hyper-focus in the last few weeks and months on getting a workforce, qualified workforce in the pipeline. You know, I'm told that ABB and other companies, some even advanced manufacturing companies, are having a hard time finding employees, that they have job openings and they just can't fill things. And then I just one last thing I'd be remiss if I didn't mention. The Chamber also announced this week they'd received a $20,000 grant. Now, that's not doesn't seem like a lot of money, but it's going to be used to produce a video. And I've been following business and political news here for over 25 years. I've never seen this kind of recruitment effort because it is kind of unique. But they're going to pull together a video, well, they've already started, that shows the military training assets at Chaffee, at Fort Chaffee. Not the Chaffee Crossing, but the military side, Fort Chaffee. And that's going to be used to target to other military branches of the military unit. Say, look, you know, look what you can do here at Fort Chaffee. I think Tim Allen, the chamber president, he said that the video will say, hey, here's the destination to train your troops. We have all the things you need. And what I find interesting, it's almost like a tourism video. You know, these units come to the area, and they often get Liberty weekends or whatever, and they spend money in restaurants, or they use the hotels and that kind of thing. So another interesting effort.
Well, a sense of collaboration there, and there's a sense of artistic collaboration this month between the Bentonville Film Festival, The Unexpected, two of our larger arts endeavors in the region, reaching in and across the tunnel to work together. Tell me more about this.
Yeah, you know, so, yeah, art can make the distances seem smaller, can't they?
Yeah.
So they announced back in April, April 16th, that they're going to work together, but they just kind of defined the details of a feature film, Turnover, May 10th, Five Star Production in downtown Fort Smith. But as part of that, Mantra, it's a French artist. He paints these. If you go, again, go to our website and pull up his art, he paints these elaborate 3D images on the side of buildings. It almost looks like the building. For example, one image he does, the end of the building looks like a shadow box with brightly colored butterflies in it. It's amazing on a huge side of a building. So he's going to be doing a mural in downtown Fort Smith beginning, I think, May 11th, wrap up around May 14th as part of that collaboration with the Bentonville Film Festival. But yeah, I think the interesting thing about this is that you have two art-focused organizations that said, hey, let's collaborate between the two regions. And I've been told that this is just the first step, and this collaboration is likely to grow.
Then downtown Van Buren has some new news, a couple of new restaurants to cater to both, I guess, people who live there and people who are visiting to see the city.
Yeah, you know, we've been told that there's been work ongoing now for 3 to 5 years to really put a strategic focus on the downtown area, not just clean the windows and hope, you know, somebody comes back through, but a real focus on development. And so this is kind of an example of that. You've got the Vault. It's called the Vault 1905 Sports Grill, literally the old historic Citizens Bank in downtown Van Buren. It'll seat about 70, employ 23 to 24 people. Pasta Grill, which I think is already, no, the Vault's already open. The Pasta Grill will open, I think, in early June. Mm-hmm. Or late May. It'll seat about 110. They've got a patio. They don't yet know how many it will seat, and it'll have 20 to 25 employees. So not only are you bringing these businesses downtown, you're bringing close to 50 jobs. Now, I know they're not, you know, the high-paying jobs. I get it that they're service sector jobs, but still, that's bringing a lot of folks to the downtown area. So like I said before, we're watching Van Buren, what's going on downtown area, and this is good for a region that has seen a lot of ups and downs over the years. Hopefully this is a uptrend that continues to move up.
That's a lot. I leave for 4 or 5 days and all this happens, plus it turns back into winter.
Oh, God.
Or what I call winter, anyway. All right, so between now and next week, we need Arkansas to take two more baseball games from LSU, and we'll talk next week, Michael.
All right. Oh, and, got my fingers crossed.
Yes, and people should go to Talk Business and Politics and see those murals, because the one you were talking about, the butterflies, is amazing.
Yes. You almost want to reach into the building.
That's right. Michael Tilley is with Talk Business and Politics. You can see that picture and read more about what we talked about at talkbusiness.net. Have a great weekend, Michael.
All right, thank you.
KUAF is giving away tickets to the 2019 Rocklahoma Music Festival, held Memorial Day weekend, May 25th through the 27th in Pryor, Oklahoma. Over 60 acts will perform, including Shinedown, Seether, Buck Cherry, and Pop Evil. Winners announced Friday, May 17th during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Information and registration available at KUAF.com. Hilarious and heartwarming, The Legend of Georgia McBride takes the stage at Theater Squared through June 2nd. Filled with music, humor, Elvis impersonators, and drag queens, this new play is a reminder that the path to prosperity and fulfillment may sometimes take an unexpected star turn. Performances run Tuesday through Sunday, 443-5600 or theater2.org for tickets and information.
This is Ozarks at Large. Patients who receive blood transfusions at Mercy Hospital Fort Smith can now show their appreciation to the blood donor. Yesterday, Mercy and the Arkansas Blood Institute celebrated the rollout of the Thank the Donor program in the River Valley. Through the online service, patients can send an anonymous thank you message to their donor. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda spoke with Dr. John Armitage, president and CEO of the Arkansas Blood Institute, to learn more about what prompted the creation of the program.
It came from a need to adapt to the kind of modern culture. We have a lot of donors who, younger donors who are used to technology and hearing stories and social media feeds and pictures and things that traditionally blood centers weren't as attuned to. So we figured out that from the barcode on the unit of blood and using a smartphone's barcode reader, that we would be able to decode that that barcode and take a message, whether it was a written message, a photo from somebody's gallery or a selfie or a video clip, and we'd be able to route that after making sure there were no identifiers that would give up confidentiality. We could route that message to the person who gave the unit and make it a lot more personal and emotionally impactful to know that the unit went to a specific person, as opposed to an abstract good that you knew it was helping somebody, somebody who was probably very sick, but you didn't know a lot of other details. So really unleashing modern technology and adapting to the needs of a younger audience generally, but all donors want to hear the specifics of how they made a difference.
And so if I am someone who benefited from the donation and I want to thank the donor, I scan the
Absolutely. You go to thankthedonor.org, and that website will allow you to enter your email address so that you can send the specifics off of your phone to us. And from that, you would take a picture of the barcode unit on the bag, and you would have a choice to either use a template message that we've sort of given as an example, or you could write your own message. You could put your own pictures in there, your own video, and craft your own specific message. We love it when people don't necessarily go with the templates, but create their own authentic voice. And that's part of the, I think, the power is you hear folks telling the story, and maybe they'll describe a lot of the medical reasons why the blood was important. Some others tell a lot of the family reasons why they're so grateful. And you get this this varied narrative about how blood is important. And fortunately, a lot of the patients who are sharing these stories, they allow us not only to share with the donors specifically, but they'll say it's okay for us to share it with our own blood center staff, or it's okay to share it on social media. So they basically supersize that message out to a much broader audience. And then that allows us to take some of those great messages and turn them into more widely used recruiting materials where, for example, Mother's Day is coming up, and we're doing some features around all the moms who needed blood during delivery and are grateful that they're there with their children and they got through the complications. And so we're able to take the messages and then craft them into different themes, different stories. So it's a very flexible way for us to make a connection with our donors.
So when did you officially roll out this program?
We had a software developer who started about 2 years ago writing the code for it. And then we had our official kickoff about a year ago in Little Rock. And then we've had subsequent rollouts in different communities. And today we're celebrating the first rollout for a hospital here in Fort Smith. So different communities have sort of been gradually layered into the system of hospitals that are using this. And we found that the hospitals really like the program because it allows the nursing staff to talk to the patients about healing and recovery and gratitude and a really positive space for the patients and the patients' family members, and kind of a reminder of just what it is to be involved with medicine, all that positivity. And so we've been fortunate that a lot of hospitals have embraced this and are telling patients and patient family members about the opportunity to send these messages.
How many communities or hospitals have you been able to roll out this program to?
I don't have an exact number, but we're in over 20 to 25 hospitals right now where we've had major kickoffs and you know, engage the staff around the whys and the wherefores and the how-tos of this. So I'd say about 25, and there are 10 other blood centers around the country that have picked up this program and are implementing it, from Seattle to the Carolinas and other places. So we think it's on its way to becoming a very routine part of getting a blood unit. Down the road, we hope that when people get blood, they'll see the little green heart tag that's attached to the unit and associate that with the moment and the reminder that they can be part of the process by sending that thank you. Right now, because of confidentiality issues, they've never been able to really partake unless they happen to contact the blood center and say, oh, I received blood. And then the blood center is very likely to try and make them a spokesperson, because it was very rare to get the messages in the past. And we've had over 1,000 messages sent in the last year. So we know we're dealing with something that patients want to say thank you, and that we're anxious to get those messages and transport them to the audiences that need to hear them. So hopefully down the road, this just becomes a natural part of, hey, I got blood and I said thank you.
How important is it for people to give blood so that you have people giving consistently?
Well, there's no replacement for human blood at this point, and there are millions of people who get blood, cancer patients, as I mentioned, moms in delivery, surgery patients, trauma patients. The need for blood is constant, and the supply is a perishable commodity. So a unit of blood can only live on the shelf for a certain amount of time, and then it expires. Hopefully it's been used before it does. But we're in constant need of replenishment. And when you go into the summer months, schools are out. We get tremendous support from high schools and colleges. But when they're out of session, it becomes just that little bit harder for us to inspire people to come in and take an hour and be a lifesaver and make a difference through our unique way of giving back. So we're always looking for that reason to motivate somebody and to say, hey, we're talking to you when we ask for help.
How many donations do you guys get a year?
Our blood center has about 300,000 donations a year, and we're about 2% maybe of or 1/50th of the total used in the United States. So we're actually the sixth largest blood center in the United States.
Wow.
And even better, we're a nonprofit pharmaceutical. So when you hear stuff about pharma charging high prices and all that, we're a great model. We're nonprofit. There are no stockholders or owners or anybody. It's all about the mission and returning, you know, investment into the mission and making sure we have blood on the shelf.
That was Dr. John Armitage, president and CEO of the Arkansas Blood Institute. He spoke with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda yesterday. More information about the program available at thankthedonor.org. And time to thank Antoinette Grajeda for being in this chair for the past few days while I was away. Thank you very much, Antoinette. We've got more Ozarks at Large just ahead.
Saturday and weekend edition, the face-off between Congress, the White House, and the Attorney General over subpoenas, redactions, and executive privilege. And Rick Atkinson's new book on the revolution that created America.
It's a very ornery people of 1775, and why should we be surprised that we are an ornery people today?
Americans always itching for a fight. Saturday and weekend edition from NPR News.
Weekend edition Saturday, tomorrow morning from 7 to 9 on 91.3 KUAF. If you'd like to see a complete schedule of all the programs we offer on the weekend on KUAF, KUAF2, and KUAF3, you can go to KUAF.com. The downtown Rogers Market officially opened last week, and new this year is an app to assist busy patrons with their purchases. Market manager Lauren Hildreth says they've offered an online year-round market since 2016.
It was a web-based program, and it's been great, but it just now feels outdated, and we decided to move away from that and look for another option. And there's a company called What's Good that is actually trying to fill this niche with farmers markets and helping them to create apps for increasing access to vendors for the consumers as well as for the vendors to reach more people. They've been a wonderful company so far.
After downloading the app, patrons can create an account and then purchase a variety of foods from vendors like meat, eggs, and bread.
It works similar to, I guess, all the different services out there that are for pre-order and food and grocery orders. And it works the same way. So they can go on and essentially pre-order the goods that they'd like to get from the market. Then they have to come by and they'll pick it up from the vendor or from the market booth, depending on what product it is. And so it's great for those people who want to still shop from local sources, want to still support their farmers market. But Saturdays are busy for everybody, and it allows them to still have that experience and get good food for their families, even though they can't come and spend the morning with us.
Hildreth says they're excited to continue growing the market this year.
We are going into our fourth season, or I guess we just started our fourth season, and want people to come out and be inspired to support their local communities, their local farmers, as well as put good food into their bodies. We can help with that.
The DTR Market is open from 8 a.m. until 1 p.m. Saturdays at 101 East Cherry Street in downtown Rogers. Brunch is served beginning at 9 a.m. More information available at downtownrogersinc.org. And Game 2 of the Arkansas-LSU Baseball Series is taking place tonight. Last night, the Razorbacks, ranked as high as fourth in the nation, defeated LSU 14-4. This is the last series at Baum Stadium during the regular season. The final game of the series will be Saturday afternoon. The Razorback softball team is done at the SEC tournament after losing yesterday to Georgia 4-1. Arkansas will now wait for the NCAA selection show Sunday night to find out where they will be sent for the first round of that tournament. The top 16 seeds will host regional NCAA games. Arkansas is 38-18 and finished the conference season even 12-12. The SEC Track and Field Championships continue today at John McDonald Field in Fayetteville. That meet concludes tomorrow. The Arkansas men's golf team is opening play Monday in the NCAA Regionals in Austin, Texas. Meanwhile, the women's golf team, ranked eighth in the country, will next play at the NCAA National Championships, played this year at the Blessings in Fayetteville, beginning May 17th. And by the way, the NCAA men's title golf tournament will also be in Fayetteville this year. Becky Adams is a teacher during her day job, but her talents extend beyond education. She's also a singer-songwriter, and even though she's only been performing around the area for a few months, she's already making an impression. Tonight, she'll perform at Kingfish in Fayetteville. Earlier this year, Becky brought bandmates Jordan Strickland, Jacob Campbell, and Walter Ferguson with her into the Furman Garner Performance Studio to talk with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis. They also performed a few songs while they were here, including this one titled Buying.
You know I'm buying. keep singing, but keep it low. Boy, meet me at 207. You know we work to keep on guessing, but when you get home, we both know. We'll keep singing, but keep it low. We'll keep it, we'll keep it low. Keep it, we'll keep it low.
I guess the first question is, how did y'all come together as a band?
Well, I took drumming lessons, actually, from Walter here. And when I started getting really interested in playing, booking gigs and everything, I just sort of called him up and I was like, are you interested in playing with a band and forming one with me? And so he called his friend Jordan.
Yeah.
This guy, I met him at school and he started playing with us as well. Because I'm a teacher. Mm-hmm. School is in, yeah, we both teach, but yeah.
So y'all have been playing out since middle of last year?
Approximately, yeah. Probably more like fall.
What made you start to want to put your music out there?
It started sounding good. I don't know. It was just something I've always wanted to share, and these guys need to be shared. They sound really, really good together. They've got a really tight sound, so yeah.
Which most of y'all are also in another band called Honey Collective?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm Jacob. I just joined up at the... These guys are kind enough to let me be involved in that project as well.
Yeah.
Very exciting stuff going on over there with Honey.
And at least today, y'all all kind of switched instruments.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we do that live, too.
We love to do that.
How are y'all trained to do that? I mean, where does your musical education come from?
Well, I mean, we both study percussion, Walter and I, at the university. But, I mean, as a percussionist, like, learning all of those different percussion instruments, you also get the motivation to learn, like, everything else as well. So, I mean, piano, bass, like, whatever comes your way, whatever you want to learn.
I think all of us studied music or yeah. are studying music currently at university. And for me, personally, it just became something that I wanted to make myself more marketable as a musician, you know, and just my natural curiosity just spurred yeah. me to pick up as much as I could.
Mm-hmm. Learning another instrument makes you better at the instrument you already.
Yeah,
like language.
Yeah, it makes it so much easier to learn other instruments as well. Sure. Like yeah. you just got a bass yesterday, right?
That's true.
Really?
Yeah, just go. Yeah.
For writing purposes, I liked writing music, and I wanted it on, you know, different instruments depending on the song. So I just sort of picked it up along the way.
How did you start writing music?
When I was young, you know, I really enjoyed reading and writing, poetry especially, and then I just started putting it to music. I'm from a very musical family. My mom taught music. She was a concert pianist for a little while, and so, yeah, it just sort of came naturally.
I've seen you perform a few times out at different venues. You've got an incredible voice, by the way.
Thank you.
How did you develop that voice?
I've been singing forever. I don't know. And thank you. Thank you so much. I started taking voice lessons when I was young. I started out in musical theater, actually. So I did some, you know, competitions here and there. And then when I got to college, I studied under a woman named Sandra C. at Arkansas State. And so that really helped me sort of expand my horizons. I got into jazz and some classical. And so, yeah, that's how.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
You've been playing out a few months. What are your plans for the future. Where do y'all want this to go?
As far as we can take it, we're sort of riding the wave. We love playing out, playing live. It's one of our favorite things. So I'm just booking, and we're trying to, you know, grow out throughout the region, mm-hmm. have some fun.
Now, a couple of you are students at the U of A. A couple of you are teachers. How much does the educational aspect of your daily lives influence the music part of it, or vice versa?
I'm a teacher. Becky and I both teach at a school here in Fayetteville. And, you know, the timing issue is always there. You know, you have other responsibilities you have to keep with your time. But I would say being in an environment in your day job, if you have to have a day job, you know, being in an environment where you're around music constantly, I mean, it always feeds that need to, you know, express yourself and play. So, like, when I'm always thinking about music, whether I'm performing or whether I'm teaching it.
I feel like I've become a better musician since I started teaching it. Absolutely. Something about just having to share it in that way and be very clear with instructions with all the kids and helping them grow. It keeps the fire in me as I'm giving it to them, so it's pretty cool.
I guess I could say it's helped me communicate better with music, like learning how to get things across to students. Like, it gives me some different mindsets and perspectives, like when I'm on a bandstand, like playing with somebody, like, how can I communicate this to you through the music? So,
coming from like music theory, music history, like all of my courses that I enjoy most of the time, you know, coming from those classes all day and then, you know, the evening comes around and it's time for rehearsal or whatever, it's a great experience to maybe play more popular, play more commercial music, play things that I'm maybe not being exposed to in the classroom. So I definitely think playing with Becky, playing with all these other artists, makes my education better than it would have been otherwise.
All right, so this is a song called Will You. Thank you.
So what have y'all got coming up on the near horizon? What's your 2019 look like?
We're going to be playing at Kingfish and some more just gigs around Fayetteville. So, yeah.
And we're booking still.
And we're booking. We're in the process
doing
of booking.
Doing some recording?
Oh, ooh. Yes, actually. That's a very good point. We are hoping to have a little EP before fall. We don't have an exact release date yet, but we've been working on it.
This is a song called Dime.
That was Becky Adams, Jordan Strickland, Jacob Campbell, and Walter Ferguson performing Dime inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF. They spoke earlier this year with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis. They're performing tonight at 8 at Kingfish in Fayetteville. You can find out more about Becky's music at facebook.com/BeckyLeeAMusic. The 14th annual West Fork Cleanup will take place Saturday, May 18th, with a 9 a.m. check-in at Walker Park in Fayetteville and at Riverside Park in West Fork to receive cleanup supplies and cleanup site maps. The event includes free lunch, music by local musicians, and a door prize drawing for prizes, including a kayak. If you'd like to know more, West Fork Cleanup on Facebook. And War Eagle Appreciation Day is approaching. It's June 1st. Park staff and community partners will get together for a celebration of War Eagle Creek. The family-friendly event includes a creek float, educational booths, live music, and a free lunch. All activities will start at the pavilion at Withrow Springs State Park. If you'd like more information, old-fashioned, you can call them 559-2593. This is Ozarks at Large.
91.3 is supported by Butterfield Trail Village, a premier Northwest Arkansas retirement community catering to active lifestyles and resident well-being. Offering a variety of amenities and living options from apartments to village homes, plus on-site fitness facilities. ButterfieldTrailVillage.org for more. A limited number of tickets are available for An Evening with the Avett Brothers, Saturday, May 18th at the Walmart Amp in Rogers. Avett Brothers songs include I and Love and You, Ain't No Man, and others. Gates open at 6:30 with live music at 8. AmpTickets.com or 443-5600 for information.
Contributors to this Friday edition of Ozarks at Large included Zuzana Sitek and Antoinette Grajeda. Antoinette also provided us sound about the Rogers Farmers Market app. Timothy Dennis also contributed today, and Timothy Dennis also mastered our show. Michael Tilley from Talk Business and Politics joined us from his office in Fort Smith. You can read more about what we talked about earlier on the show at talkbusiness.net. Becca Martin Brown with the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette will be back with us next weekend on Ozarks at Large. A listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Waldron. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. And again, a thank you to Antoinette Grajeda for being here with you the past 4 days. Big thanks to Columbus House Brewery for hosting the KUAF Happy Hour last night. I'm Kyle Kellums. I will be back with you Sunday morning at 9 for the next edition of Weekend Ozarks at Large. And then Monday at noon and 7, we'll begin another brand new week of brand new editions of Ozarks at Large right here on 91.3 KUAF. You can connect with us at ozarksatlarge.com. You can listen to us when you want by subscribing to our absolutely free podcast. More information about that at ozarksatlarge.com, available through services like iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks so much for spending part of your Friday with us. We'll be back Sunday morning at 9.